Church of Nazarene this morning. It's a joy to see you here today. That song actually went a lot better this week. I think we might learn it if we keep trying. That was really good. I enjoyed Psalm 1 set to music. It was good. So this morning we're going to be talking about fellowship. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. We're going to be talking all about what that means. And as I begin this morning, I just want you to know that I appreciate the fellowship that we have here. And a lot of that was evidenced, actually, yesterday at the memorial service. All the people who were participants in setting up and tearing down and working hard to make it happen. It was a blessed time, and it was a time of fellowship. We'll get more involved about that later on. So here's from Acts chapter 4. These are, just so you know, these are words that I find challenging. Okay? Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and 33. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. No one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know, these things all kind of hang together, and they come together. And the early church was something that looked quite a bit different than what we experience as church today. May we get back to what they had. Father God, help us today. Help us to draw near to you. Help us to experience your presence. Help us to be comforted and convicted by you. Lord, use this worship service today to reorient our hearts, to make sure that we are pointing to you with everything that we are. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. All right, everybody. Thank you for coming back together. We have a message to receive from the Word of the Lord, a message that is both, in my opinion, encouraging and challenging. And so I'm hoping that we will be encouraged and we will be challenged together. So we are talking about being devoted to God. And we're talking about practices and habits and ways of thinking that will orient us so that we are devoted to God. Over the last few weeks, we've talked about what devoted is. It's single-minded, a serious focus on one thing. It's steadfast, not going anywhere. It's faithfulness. You can rely on it. Single-minded, steadfast, faithful, continuing to head in the same direction. There's a book title, this is not anything about that, but a long obedience in the same direction would be a good way of saying it. And I have also said that it is giving ourselves completely to or for something. And the reality is that most of our lives are oriented, or most of our temptations, most of what we struggle with is about self, being devoted to what we want instead of being devoted to what God wants. You see, God created us to be devoted to Him. And when we are devoted to Him, then we also care about others. And we take care of one another. And we're willing to lay down our lives. In fact, you know, the Apostle Paul, one of my favorite passages, and I'm trying to work it into a book. Who knows if it'll ever get there? Is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And see, this is really what Christianity is about. It's about being crucified with Christ. Paul in another place says that when we are baptized, we are baptized into his death and we are raised in Christ. We become a new creature. And this is sort of the idea, is it's the death of self and a coming alive of what God made us to be, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That we would no longer be about us, we would be about him. But in being about him, we would be the best. Let me just put it for myself. I would be the best Kurt that God made me to be. So that it's not really me that you're seeing, but it's the Kurt that God made, the Kurt that God intended. That all of the wiring, all of the gifting, all of the skills be oriented towards God and to his glory, so that he is fully known in and through me. And see, that's what we're working towards, being fully devoted to God. And a part of that devotion then says we're going to take time to listen to him. So let me just read this passage to you again. You're probably going to get sick of this passage before I get done preaching on it, but it's from Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 42. And the they there is the early church, those who on Pentecost Sunday came and gave their lives to the Lord and were baptized, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. You know, the Lord adds to his body when his body is reflecting him. And when we are serious about doing his will, then God does the work of bringing people out of the darkness into his son's glorious light. That's what that's all about. So we've been looking for the past couple of weeks at being devoted to the apostles' teaching. And the apostles' teaching, I focused primarily on reading the word of the Lord. When I think about the apostles' teaching, it's in here. The apostles, what they had to say and what they shared is recorded in here. What they learned from Jesus Christ, they wrote down and they handed on to us. And so I've been focusing primarily on that. Can the apostles teach other ways? Yes. Preaching is sort of like that, where I come and I say to you what God has said to me and through his word. And so you could devote yourselves to those things. But again, it's not devotion to the apostles' teaching. It's devotion to God. But because you're devoted to God, you want to know what God says. You want to hear his voice and you want to orient your heart and your life according to his will. And so you're devoted to hearing the voice of God through the word of God and through every means possible, including perhaps your brother or your sister in Christ, when they come to you and they say, you know, hey, I love you. I need to talk to you about something. Something may be hard, but I know you love the Lord and I know you don't want to dishonor him. And so I'm concerned about this area of your life. Notice I did that with a lot of grace and a lot of humility there. We don't come in and say, you're wrong. Well, maybe brothers do. I don't know. Do you guys ever do that to each other? Just call each other out and say, that was wrong. Yeah. Anyway. We want to do it with grace and humility, recognizing that we could all stumble and fall, right? Well, we come to this next one, and so we're going to be devoted to hearing the voice of the Lord. We're going to be devoted to trying to discern his voice. My sheep know my voice, you know. And so we want to make sure that we're doing that, That's one of the ways that we are pointing ourselves in devotion to God. We're realigning our priorities and we're setting aside time and we're saying, it's not about me, it's about you, God, and I need to hear from you, and I can do that through your word, so here I am. Speak to me. All of you could do something else with that time. But see, you devote yourself. You give yourself fully to God. So now we get to the next one. The fellowship. You devote yourselves to the fellowship. Well, that's this, but it's not just this. So let me ask you, what do you think of when I say fellowship? Potlucks. Thank you. I knew someone would say it. So what else do you think of when you think of fellowship? Communion.
Praying together.
Okay, and that's the first part. Something bonded? Unbonded friendship. Yeah, okay. Very good. Seth? Shared labor. Shared labor. Working together. Good. See, you guys, you're just too good. Gary? Studying together in the Bible. Gathering around and feasting on the word of the Lord. Coffee. Talking. Huh? You can see where my heart is. I'm all about the Joe. Listening. Maybe it would be better if I was listening up here. So talking together, listening together. Okay. Sharing each other's burdens. Okay, well, you guys are preaching the sermon this morning, so it's all good. I asked Heather, what is fellowship? And she started going through this list, and I said, maybe I should teach the children and let you, because it's all these things. It's all these things. I want you to hear, the word is koinonia in the Greek. It's built off a word that means common. But it's not common as in bad, but it's just that which we share. That which is common to us all. That which we have in common. It's kind of based on that. If we were to look in the dictionary, we would see the condition or relation of being a fellow. The fellowship of humankind. Don't you love it when they define fellowship with fellowship? Friendly relationships or companionship. And then here we go again. The fellowship of father and son. Community of interest, feeling, etc. Communion between members of the same church and hopefully of the church beyond a local congregation. That's if we look in the English dictionary. But if we go to the Greek and we look at it, the word koinonia is to share in fellowship with its participation. Participation in. One of the things that it is not, it's not sitting idly on the sidelines. It's not coming to a community of faith to receive but never contributing. You see, it's a mutual back and forth. It's a need for us to be committed to each other and to the needs of each other. Now, that was demonstrated powerfully this week. We had several testimonies about that. I was able to bless Margaret and participate in her life, to be able to walk beside her and help her. The church family rallied around Lori and her family, and they worked with them, and they, you know, the Franklins helped to get involved in resetting the sanctuary, and Sue and Judy and so many others came and were cooking and preparing. Bill was involved. Leela was involved. Rose came early and she was involved. It's working together. I mean, you had something else you could have done, right? There were other places you could have been. But it's setting aside my wants, my desires. You know, if I was to read from my lesson this morning, what God spoke to me, laying aside my rights. You know, we live in a rights-oriented society. And it's all about my rights, you know? No, it's not. Not in the kingdom of God. It's about our Father in heaven, and it's ordering our thinking and our actions according to Him. It's participating in a community together, sharing, nurturing, encouraging. Well, you got it. There are four ways it says here that the word koinonia may be taken. It could be fellowship with the apostles, that they just enjoyed being with the apostles. I don't think that's what it was, though that was part of it. And here's part of the thing. I want to get back to the disciple-making aspect. Our commission by Jesus was to make disciples, not converts. Okay? We are supposed to make disciples, and someone help me. I've given you this definition, so hopefully someone here remembers. Bob, unless God has touched you, you're off the hook, because... No, but what does it mean to be a disciple? To become like the master. One who is following another with the intention and purpose of becoming like them. Okay? It's not just following them around. It's following them around with the intention of becoming like them. It's something that children do automatically with their parents. You know, like father, like son. They want to be like their parents for a while anyway. So this disciple-making thing is learning to become like Jesus. Self-sacrificing, self-giving, always loving, always serving. So they participated in the fellowship. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They spent time in the presence of the apostles, not because they wanted to become like the apostles, but because they wanted to become like Jesus, whom the apostles represented to them. And so I believe that's a part of it. Number two, it may mean the communism of verse 44. Now, how many of you just cringed? Verse 44. Oh, they had all things in common. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. That's tough, right? That means that I don't think of stuff as mine. I think of it as God's. And I said, God, what do you want me to do with this? And if He says, I want you to give it to someone else, you give it to someone else. And I realize that that's a tough sell in the United States of America today. You know, we're very property oriented. And there is such a thing as having property lines and boundaries and things of that nature. That's in the Bible too. But as a community of faith, and here's, actually, this is the area that people outside the church love about the church. Because they know that they can come and they can ask the church for stuff, and the church feels guilty if we don't give it. That never happens, does it, Brian? Brian's the head of our benevolence committee. But here's the thing. When it comes to the family, When it comes to our fellow believers, the body of Christ that we have joined together with, we're supposed to be sharing like that. And I got to tell you, that's challenging to me. I find that harder than other things in the kingdom life and kingdom giving. I'm more than willing to give you stuff from the church. You know, but it's harder for me to give up my stuff. My toys, my things. I'll give my time, give my talent. But some of the things that I've accrued probably have too much of a hold on me. This fellowship involves caring about one another enough that when you see a family in your midst that needs something and you have it, you give it to them. It means carrying them. We have a privilege to be able to do that with each other, and I know it's happening. I know it's going on in this family. Thank God would be pleased if we did it more. Amen. You know, and if we really shared of ourselves and of our possessions in that way. It may be the equivalent of breaking of bread, so there's your potlucks, Bob. They made it in there. Okay. Just the breaking of bread together. But I don't think it is, because that's what communion comes from, or the breaking of bread is actually listed in there. And it can be made somewhat equivalent to just giving of alms, almsgiving, giving of out of your abundance to others. Its nature is determined by and is expressed in the apostolic message. And one of the forms taken by this is the common management of wealth. Now, I'm not here. Hear me well. I am not saying I want you to give everything, sign it all over to the church. That's not what I'm saying. There are too many pastors who are saying that kind of thing. What I'm saying is that we need to view everything that we steward not as ours, but as God's. And that it is available to whomever God would lead us to make it available to. So this fellowship is sharing life together. Because you're not going to know what someone needs unless you walk with them. It's carrying burdens with each other instead of saying, yeah, I'll pray for that and walking away. It's entering into it and even perhaps saying, you know, I wonder, God, do you have something you want me to do about this? Is there a way that I can engage to help this? You see, it is the complete reordering of everything about our lives so that it's no longer about me. It's about Him. And because it's about Him, it's about everyone else. And it's laying down my rights and my life for the good of the body as a whole. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the early church, they had love feasts, and they would get together and they would have love feasts. And we're going to be having one of those. In fact, I don't have it all completely organized, so I haven't shared it yet. But on the first Sunday in Advent, I'm actually thinking that we're just going to, our Sunday morning worship service is going to be a common meal. And we're going to break bread together and fellowship over a meal on that Sunday in here. I know, that's weird. But it's part of this sharing life. And it's part of being present. And here's the catch. The church is going to provide the meal. But you're the church. Okay? The church is going to provide the meal. And guess what? There will be some who can bring a lot. And there will be some who can bring a little. There may be some who can't bring anything at all. And we're all going to eat, and those who brought a lot are going to eat a little. And those who brought nothing may eat the most. I mean, it's real and it happens. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul is upbraiding the Corinthian community because as they come together for this, that's not what happened. The rich had their little section and they had this scrumptious smorgasbord set on their table. Meanwhile, some of the poor and the elderly and the infirm were shut in a corner somewhere and they were nibbling on crumbs. And some of them were so weak and so frail and so tired and so beaten down by life that they were even dying. And they were dying because those who had were not sharing with those who had not. And so we're gonna do this, and we're going to try and do it right. Now, we're not going to go to this as a normal Sunday morning ritual yet. We'll see where God leads. But here's the thing. Fellowship. It's so much more than eating together. It's so much more than talking to each other. It does involve listening. Listening behind the words and hearing the heart of the other. And engaging them at the heart level. You see, this is fellowship. Fellowship is caring, and fellowship is caring enough to pray for one another. And not just on Wednesday night or Sunday morning, but all week long. As God brings people to your mind, pray for them. Lift them before the throne of grace. Perhaps even call them and say, hey, I was praying for you. God laid you on my heart. Is there something I can do for you? It's engaging. It is partnership. It is locking arms with each other for the good of the whole. Now, I got to tell you, in any gathering of people, there are some that it's easy for you to do this with and some that it's hard. You know what I'm saying? There are some that, oh yeah, I'd do anything for you. You know, call me, just don't call me in the night. And I'm there. Now, I joke about that, but really, don't call me at night because I won't hear you. I'll get your message in the morning. You can call Heather. She might be able to wake me up. It's hard to say. You know, I'm making fun here, and it's really not something to make fun of. This fellowship is not about Sunday. It's not about when the church schedules things. It's not about me and Heather carrying the ball and y'all coming and having a party. I heard a comment, and Heather would be mortified if she knew I shared this. But I heard a comment based on all the pictures on the wall from the past events that we don't do anything anymore. Well, everything that's on these walls, Heather and I made it happen. And we got tired. And that doesn't mean that stuff doesn't happen. It means she quit making posters with pictures on them. And we have slowed down and we have backed off. But here's, fellowship is not about us doing it. It's about all of us together doing it. Like I said, the church is going to provide the meal. And we are the church. Don't come thinking that the church is going to, this building can't do anything. I hate to tell you that. But, you know, the chairs don't magically end up in rows every week. And the floors don't magically get clean. And, you know, it's not magic. It's blood, sweat, and tears. And it takes all of us working together. God has done great things through us in this body. And you have done this marvelously. Yesterday is just one snapshot of a family that is fellowshipping and caring for one another, walking beside, lots of planning, lots of communication, lots of back and forth, lots of people giving, Emily putting together an amazing slideshow. You know, it was a lot. It was the body fellowshipping together, working together, all of us, sharing what we have, sharing our time, our talents, our energy, sharing of our finances, sharing of our lives. That's what the fellowship is. And as we do that, we walk together and we work together. We listen to each other. We begin to try and understand the needs as seen through another's eyes and try and be the one who answers that. What kind of a community would it be if every single one of us were doing that all of the time? How much more visible would God be? How much more visible would God be? Now, hear me. I think you guys already get it. I think you already understand it. But let's take it up another notch. Let's get closer and closer to what God made us to be, to the image that He would want us to bear, to the fellowship. And I guarantee you, we do this, the Lord will add to our number daily. Because they'll see the love, and people are thirsting for love. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Okay. If you want an exercise for the week besides hearing the word of the Lord through reading your scripture, by the way, I'm not letting you off the hook on that one. We're building here. We're not, you know. Go look up one another in your Bible and do the one another's. I actually, if you want to cheat, I have an article that I wrote for my son's magazine on the one another's. It's called Living in Community. And there are 100 one another's in the New Testament. He wants to cheat. I'm going to share. And guess what? My sister Alma, it's not just this group of people, but we have a Hispanic congregation that meets. We need to participate with them too. Let's not let language or culture be a barrier. Let's love deeply and powerfully. Let's be in partnership, in community, in fellowship with one another. Okay? Well, as the worship team comes up, let me pray for us. Father God, your Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, prayed, Lord, make them one, even as we are one. Father, that level of unity, that level of harmony and oneness, that's what you want. That's the fellowship. So, Lord God, help us. Because we can't. We go out into the world and we're told it's all about us and that we have rights. We get tempted and tried, distracted. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to become one. Under the headship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that we might have fellowship with Him as we have fellowship with each other. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So here's a parting scripture from you. It comes from 1 John chapter 1. That which we have seen and heard, Jesus Christ, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God bless you. To leave this building, but to stay in fellowship. God bless you as you go.